Hi, I'm Tom Parker from Parker & Associates with Notes Page. Today we're talking with Jim Endicott again. Jim is the president of Distinction Communication in Portland, Oregon, and is a nationally recognized executive presentation coach and industry consultant who helps his customers tell their important stories more effectively. Jim and his team work with client companies ranging from several of Intel's top executives to small business startups and about everything in between. Today, Jim and I will be talking about great starts, even greater finishes, planning the perfect presentation. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom.
Thanks for being with us again, Jim. So what's wrong with the way we start and end our presentations?
Well, Tom, it's the same challenge that airplanes have, is they tend to crash on takeoff and landings. And that's really the challenge with most presentations today, those critical moments when we're beginning and when we're concluding the presentation. So what typically happens today is in the first 2 or 3 minutes, the presenter, instead of setting kind of an interesting context and creating and establishing relevancy for the audience, will go into this lengthy company background information, and he loses his audience in that first few minutes. The other challenge people have is how presentations end. And today, unfortunately, most presentations seem to end because the presenter ran out of slides. Not because there was a crisp, well-thought-out conclusion, but because the slide deck ran out. So this comes back to a principle Dr. Scott Lee taught me. We were co-writing a book called The Presentation Survival Skills Guide, and he told me about this principle called recency and primacy, which just simply says that when an audience or a group of people are faced with a stimulus or new information or ideas, their brains are actively pinging away. And then in those concluding moments of a stimulus, their brains are actively pinging away, and we have to be ready to fully leverage those moments.
Okay, I've got a major presentation coming up, and I'm sitting down to map out how it will flow. So what do I need to do differently to make this a success?
You know, typically I would suggest that we kind of take that Stephen Covey idea of beginning with the end in mind. I remember when I was first teaching my son Jeremy how to mow the lawn, he would be looking kind of like just 2 or 3 feet out past the end of the lawnmower. So when he got to the end of the lawn and looked back, his path kind of meandered back and forth all the way across. So I would say, okay, what you need to do is when you start, you need to look all the way across the yard and pick a point and mow to it. And, of course, he did that, and the path was really, really straight. And we have to take that same approach as presenters. What I would recommend is we create a very crisp summary slide first, maybe 3 one-line talking point bullets to conclude, and that becomes our end point. Then we have to reconsider the whole flow of the presentation. Because really, most presentations are very persuasive in nature. People think, oh, I'm just communicating information, or I'm just communicating an idea. But really, in essence, we're trying to get people to change what they believe very often, how they view the future, or that a problem can actually be solved that they've struggled with for a long time. Unfortunately, most presentations start with kind of a lengthy company background set of slides, followed by kind of a rote solution, and it just doesn't work very well because there's no context for the problem that's created. So we would tell our clients, content without context is meaningless.
Got to guess that everybody's going to agree with that approach. It doesn't work well at all. So what does?
Okay, I'm going to give you a very simple 7-step model, and this works really well for whenever we're trying to get people to think and believe things that are a little bit different. Step one, we've got to identify the challenge. What are the issues that the audience is encountering? Step two, we have to quantify that impact, whether it's on productivity or morale or revenue, whatever kind of measure that is, because that is really the motivator for change. Step three, we have to kind of specify the need. So what needs to happen to resolve that kind of situation? Step four, this is where most presentations start, but this is where we start laying out, here's our solution to that issue we talked about. Step five, we're going to articulate some of the benefits. What makes that solution work so well? Then we're at step six, why that idea and solution is different than other approaches, which is a differentiation step. Most companies or most organizations don't tell that differentiation message very effectively. And finally, step seven, we need to validate our conclusions, and oftentimes this is done with a case study or personal story. So practically what I do is when I'm creating presentations, I'll map out all my slide titles first according to this formula. Then when I got the flow just right, I'll go back and begin to add substance to the slide.
Let's say I've mapped out this presentation. What ideas do you have for us for timing it out so that you don't blow past the allotted time?
This actually happened to me a few weeks ago. I was presenting in Toronto at the International Association of Business Communicators. I'd been given like 75 minutes, which I had practiced and practiced, and my time was all ready to go. I was all locked and loaded on my content. And so as I'm waiting in the back of the room for the other presenter to finish, I've got the AV guys that are standing next to me ready to help me set up. The other presenter kind of lost track of time, so he went 5 minutes long, 10 minutes long, 15 minutes long. Pretty soon he finished, and we were just jamming to get our stuff set up and get ready to go. And it kind of took me out of my game plan. So the first thing I would suggest to people is assume you're going to start 5 minutes late. 90% of the time, you're probably going to be right. And then I want you to apply the 70% rule for content. That basically says if we got 60 minutes to fill, we're going to apply that 70% rule and really create content to fill about 40 or 45 minutes. I know that sounds crazy, but our content always expands to fill the time. Then we practice until we can hit that timing every time. Because on presentation day, it just seems to always expand. And so the difference becomes now instead of rushing to the end, we can spend our time on not just what we're going to say, but how we're going to say it, which is so critical to the presentation process.
All right, so I've got a final question for you today, Jim. Is there an inside secret that you do personally that is going to help our audience today?
Tom, you're asking me for my secret sauce.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give you one thing that I do often that works really well, and I call it the bookend story. And what that means is I'm going to, right after just a real brief introduction, I am going to go straight into a story in the first few minutes. And it actually, the story typically is steps 1, 2, and 3 in that 7-step model. So, for example, I may finish my introduction and say, in 1997, I found myself standing in the boardroom of one of the largest advertising agencies in the country, and the stakes, a $100 million global advertising account for Microsoft, and they wanted me to help them put that presentation together. But I would end the story right there and then go into the balance of my presentation. And then as I'm concluding the presentation, I've got to put the tail end on the story. So I'll do a real quick summary of my key points, and then I'll say something like, you know what, I'd like to finish that story I started with this morning. The advertising agency flagged off my best efforts for presentation approach, and they put together dozens and dozens of slides that were black and white, bullet slide after bullet slide after bullet slide. The advertising agency, they lost the $100 million deal. I hope you make every presentation count because they didn't.
All right, well, thanks, Jim. We're going to be continuing our conversation with Jim Endicott with Distinction Communication over the next few weeks, so stay tuned. For more information on Distinction and what they do, check out their website at distinction-services.com. That's distinction-services.com. And while you're there, you'll get a lot out of their podcasts and blogs. Until next time, this is Tom Parker with Notes Page.